Okay. First Deuteronomy 26, 5 through 9. You shall make this response before the Lord your God. A wandering Aramean was my ancestor. He went down into Egypt and lived there as an alien. Few in number, and there he became a great nation, mighty and populous. When the Egyptians treated us harshly and afflicted us by imposing hard labor on us, we cried to the Lord, the God of our ancestors. The Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction and our toil and our oppression. The Lord brought us out of Egypt, and with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with a terrifying display of power and with signs and wonders, and he brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Now we have Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus 19, 33 through 34. When an alien resides in you, with you in your land, you shall not compress the alien. The alien who resides with you shall be to you as a citizen among you. You shall love the alien as yourself, for you were aliens in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God.
Thank you, Janet. We have a third scripture lesson this morning, but before I read that lesson, I would like for you to take a look at the cover of our bulletin this morning. The first thing I'd like you to notice is that it's in color. A few weeks ago, our Administrative Services Committee replaced our old printer, which was probably as old as this building, I'm going to guess. They replaced it with a brand new one, and one of the features they got in the brand new one was color capability. And so we tried it out on a bulletin cover a few weeks ago, printing the Presbyterian symbol in blue and red, very simple colors, very simple design. That turned out pretty cool. And then the next week, we print on rally day, we printed the cover of a drawing of a carnival, which was the theme of rally day. It too was simple colors, but it turned out pretty good. So this week decided to try really adventurous and try a photograph. And I think it turned out pretty good. So thank you to the Administrative Services Committee for the work they did to get us a new printer. I also want you to notice the what is on the cover. You probably know that's a monarch butterfly. And monarchs are noted for the fact that they migrate down to some hidden mountain down in Mexico. A tremendous trek for a creature that appears to be so delicate. But looks can be deceiving. And this is one tough insect, folks. And I thought that would be an appropriate cover for this week because we are talking about people who migrate from one country to another. And as we have discovered in what Linda told us, there is a lot more to the people who do that and come here, a lot more than we realize, just like there's a lot more to monarch butterflies than we realize. So I want you to look at the cover while I read this third scripture lesson that comes from Hebrews of the New Testament, chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. Let love be mutual. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing that some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those who are in prison as though you were in prison with them, and those who are being tortured as though you yourselves were being tortured. Here ends our reading. Let us pray. O Lord God, we thank you for all these words from your Holy Scripture and ask that your Spirit guide us in our reflections upon them this morning. Amen. When I was a young teenager, my family was invited to go on vacation with another family, and it was to their cabin up in Canada. That family owned a cabin on a lake that was at least 100 miles north of Lake Superior. It was remote, and our two families were the only people we saw all week. We also happened to go to this cabin at the end of the summer. And since we were the last ones that were going to use the cabin that year, it fell upon us to shut it down for the winter. And so on the last day, as we were finishing up, I noticed that there was some food items still on the shelves of the cabin, and I was getting set to pack those away for the trip home when the owner of the cabin told me to leave them there. Then he told me that he also left wood in the bin by the fireplace and matches on the mantel. And he told me that when we left, we would leave the cabin unlocked, just in case someone needed it. And I asked, needed it? And the cabin owner told me that everyone who owns cabins up there in the far north left them unlocked and stocked with food and wood just in case someone needed it. He said if someone came upon this cabin in the fall or the winter, most likely they would be in desperate need of food and shelter. And therefore, everyone who owned a cabin kept it open, just in case. Just in case they might need to save a life. It was sort of a Northwoods hospitality thing. And I remember trying to imagine the circumstances of a person who would be wandering around in the Canadian wilderness in the winter, and I figured that such a person would need all the help they could get. And we here at First Presbyterian have lived out our own hospitality thing over this past year that you heard Linda describe. And while I'm not sure it's a fair comparison, but this memory of my trip to the North Woods came to mind this week as I considered our reaching out to refugees program. For in their own way, the refugees who come to this country are in difficult circumstances and they need all the help they can get. And we have our own code of hospitality given to us in the Bible, one that says we need to do all that we can to help them. And we have done our best to help the Get-To family get acclimated to the United States and to Columbus in particular. As you have heard this morning, we have helped them in getting started and filling their apartment with essential items and helping them to move in. We have helped them with job searches and finding places to shop and providing transportation and making medical appointments and negotiating the bus system and getting into the school system and working on their English. And along the way, we have learned about their history and learned about their cultural background, and in a small way, learned about their hopes and dreams for their life here in the United States. And we made some very special friendships along the way. And we've done all this against a national backdrop that has made immigration one of this country's hot button issues. We have heard the buzzwords, open borders, closed borders, border walls, legal immigration, illegal immigration, immigrant caravans, asylum seekers, family separations, documented, undocumented, green cards, DACA. We've heard them all and many more. And to tell the truth, I'm not sure that most of us can keep it all straight. What we know is it's a mess. What might help was a distinction made by a Baptist author I read a few years ago. He said that we need to distinguish between immigrants and immigration. Immigration, he said, was a political term, and as such was open to debate on how best to manage the flow of people into this country. And then he went on to say that immigrant was a personal term that described a human being who was created in the image of God. And then he said that while we may argue and debate on what to do about immigration, there should be no debate on what to do about immigrants. The Bible is clear that we are to show hospitality to the stranger and the foreigner in our midst. And the Bible is full of such admonitions on how one should treat the stranger, the foreigner, the alien who is in one's midst. Our passage from Leviticus is one such admonition. When an alien resides with you in your land, you shall not oppress the alien. The alien who resides with you, you shall be to you as a citizen among you. You shall love the alien as yourself. For you were aliens in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. The alien is to be a citizen with you. This verse harkens back to our other verse from the Old Testament that Janet read this morning, the one from Deuteronomy that says that when we make offerings to God, you shall make this response before the Lord your God. A wandering Aramean was my ancestor. It was upon that concept that the admonition from Leviticus was written. This command from Leviticus to show kindness to the alien in your midst is based on the experience of the Jewish people. The Jewish people were once aliens in a foreign land, and they were eventually enslaved there. They should know better than anyone what it means to be abused and oppressed in a foreign land. Therefore, God is saying, don't you dare oppress anyone who is a foreigner in your land. Treat them well, God says. It is sort of a golden rule thing. Do unto the foreigner what you didn't have done unto you. I'm sure I don't need to remind anyone here that we too were once immigrants in this country. Each of us in our ancestry has people who fled famine, persecution, war, and a host of other things to come to this country. Hopefully, our immigrant ancestors were treated with kindness when they arrived here, but we know that that wasn't always the case. Many, if not most, had to struggle to make a life here, a life that has led to each of us being where we are today. We could easily adapt the Jewish response found in Deuteronomy. My father was a wandering Aramean with words of our own. A wandering German, a wandering Pole, a wandering Mexican, a wandering Haitian, a wandering Korean, a wandering human being was my ancestor. Our reading from Hebrews takes this idea of hospitality to the stranger and to the foreigner one step further. The Hebrew author puts the rationale for such hospitality, not on a historical basis, but on a cosmic one, when he writes, "Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it." This admonition has its basis in another Old Testament story as well. Back in Genesis, Abraham and Sarah encounter three strangers, and in the custom of the day, Abraham shows them every hospitality of food, drink, and rest. The three men turned out to be messengers from God who gave Abraham and Sarah the message that they were going to bear a son. Entertaining some angels is what they did with earthly hospitality. It was on that image the author of Hebrews wrote those words. And for the author of Hebrews, showing hospitality to strangers is not done because of some ancient command, but because of what might be happening right here and now. The stranger in our midst might just be God's own representative. And if that is so, how can we not show hospitality? And what would happen if we didn't? I don't know if the refugee family that came our way were angels of God. I do hope that we were able to show them as much hospitality as we could for this past year. What I do know is that those who had a chance to meet that family were blessed by having met them. And in that way, I am sure that God was present with us and with them this past year. And so I want to thank our Reaching Out to Refugee team for those and for all the hard work that they have put in to this past year, and looks like they may be doing for a while longer. I hope that you will share your experiences with the rest of us in various ways when you can. And I also hope, as Linda indicated, that we will seek out new opportunities to reach out to the refugee, the foreigner, the stranger in our communities and show them every hospitality that we are able. For as Episcopal Bishop Michael Curry told the members of his church, it is because we are followers of Jesus, because we follow the way of love, because we follow the way of compassion, because we follow the way of human decency and kindness, that we as a church and as individual Christians and Episcopalians must be passionately committed to helping refugees and displaced people of the world. And I think he would include Presbyterians in that statement as well. Amen.